Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. It's the Fan Late Night with Sean Drotar on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
Drew Locke is not expected to be activated until week 14, amazingly. Joining us now is 1043 The Fan's James Merrillat, the head of all things digital and the guy that puts together our sports daily, something that you should go check out at 1043thefan.com and subscribe to. James, you had a good story specifically about the quarterback rankings, Joe Flacco, and why, well, maybe folks like me who are pressing to get Locke in there as soon as possible in a lost season may not be that off base.
Yeah, you know, I get the argument that, hey, you know, you don't want to put a rookie out there. You got a veteran that can deal better with an offensive line that's not very good and a receiving core that is now really young without Emmanuel Sanders. But that would only make sense if Joe Flacco was playing well. And I think we've all seen in the last few weeks that he's not playing particularly well. Making mistakes, fumbling the ball. Dropping too far back in the pocket, not helping his offensive line out. You know, just the list goes on and on of things he's doing that are not good. But, you know, the NFL.com comes out today with their quarterback rankings, and he's tied for 26th with Andy Dalton. The guys that are behind him on the list are either, you know, midseason replacements, the Matt Moores of the world, or they're guys that, you know, nobody is clamoring to have as their starting quarterback, including Case Keenum and names like that. So, look, he's ranked behind Jameis Winston, who the last time Jameis Winston was on a football field, he threw 5 interceptions. So, replacing Joe Flacco with Drew Locke, honestly, even though Drew Locke's never taken an NFL snap, it's hard to imagine he could be much worse. I mean, this offense scored 6 points at home the last time they played a game. And that was on a drive that was aided by 2 15-yard penalties from the officials. So I just don't get it. I don't understand the argument that, hey, you got to stick with the veteran. You know, you got to stick with the guy who's earned it. Earned it by doing what? He's not playing the position very well at this point.
That one scoring drive, mind you, was against the league's 30th ranked defense, too. That's the only right. one that they got. Right. So I see where you're coming from, and I guess I share it. But let's play devil's advocate for a minute, or I will. The idea that you can't put Drew Locke behind this porous offensive line, which it is a porous offensive line. Of course, the Broncos' offensive line has been bad for a couple years, and there's also no reason to think that in the coming weeks or necessarily even next year it'll be much better. But is there a value to that of thinking that Drew Locke is, you know, this piece of fine china, and if you put him behind an offensive line, the big scary guys on the other side will break him or something?
Look, it's not going to be fun playing behind this offensive line, but you know what I think might help with this offensive line is having a guy back there who's not a statue. Give me a guy who can move around a little bit, whether it's by design or whether it's off schedule. I think the Broncos coaching staff can help themselves out a lot if they get a little creative, move the quarterback around a little bit. Well, you can't do that with Joe Flacco. You can maybe do some of that stuff with Drew Locke. You can run some read option. You can do some things that slow down the pass rush. So I get it, but, you know, I just – look, they're professionals. They're getting paid. They're going to have tough games in tough venues at some point in their career. I think you got to chuck them out there. I mean, John Elway in his rookie year, he tells the story. His first game was at Pittsburgh, Three River Stadium, and looking across the line of scrimmage and seeing Jack Lambert with snot coming out of his nose, and he was thinking, you know what, I'll give you the money back. Just let me out of here. I'll give you the signing bonus back. You kind of got to just get thrown into it. I think if you get coddled too much, you turn into a guy that doesn't know how to deal with adversity and doesn't know that, you know what, it's a tough job and there's a lot of obstacles. So I get the argument that the offensive line isn't very good. But if we wait for John Elway to fix the offensive line before they play a young quarterback, Joe Flacco is going to play into his 50s.
Yeah, it might be, because I think people look at the offensive line, and obviously we have a couple members of the offensive line right here. But the Broncos offensive line, even during the Peyton Manning years, wasn't necessarily all the way across all that good. It wasn't this rock solid top unit as a whole. So it does seem like the idea of waiting for this Goldilocks situation for Drew Lock may not necessarily make much sense, especially when you talk about the challenges of Rich Scangarello in his first year. Now, what I've seen, we've seen this offense, by the way, when it's not on the scripted plays and they can't do anything. At the very least, they've scored on the scripted times with Scangarello. So maybe that indicates that he can do it. It's in his brain somewhere. Now it's a matter of experience. But what did he do so well last year that he got all the praise for? He worked with Nick Mullins out in the 49ers, got him ready to go, worked with a slightly simplified offense. And I know he wasn't the coordinator, didn't call it. He was the quarterback's coach. But it seems like he's already done this kind of situation just last year. And oh, by the way, Nick Mullins shredded the Broncos.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I mean, you know, Rich Scangarello, look, you're never quite qualified for the job that you get when it's a step up. So to say he was unqualified for this, I think is a little unfair. At some point, somebody has to take a gamble on you, but he's never done the job. So I think that, you know, he's going to learn through the lumps that come along with it. But you're 100% right. The thing on his resume that was most impressive was what he did with the young quarterback. So why not let him go do that? It's amazing to me. It's not as though, you know, the number one thing that he has done in his career as a NFL assistant coach was, boy, he was really good with a 34-year-old aging quarterback and, you know, kind of helped him find the fountain of youth. That wasn't the case. He was good at helping a guy who, had to get thrown into the deep end when Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt and they, you know, had some injuries at quarterback and they didn't have much other choice but to go with Nick Mullins. That's the other thing that infuriates me about the Broncos position right now is I'm not saying Drew Lock should start week 9 against Cleveland. No, maybe he should. There's an argument to be made. But at the very least, the soonest he could come back off IR and be on the active roster, he should have been Joe Flacco's backup. Because if Joe Flacco gets hurt, what is the point of rolling out Brandon Allen? Brandon Allen doesn't have any experience. Brandon Allen's not a guy who's going to win games for you. Brandon Allen's not a guy that's the future of the franchise, so you're giving him reps that really aren't going to do you any good. I just, for the life of me, do not understand why you wouldn't at least want to have Drew Lock be the backup. It makes no sense to me, Sean. I don't get it at all.
It is a little confusing because if you didn't know otherwise, and I mean, John Elway traded for the spot that got Lock in the second round, so you think that he thinks there's something there. But if you just heard it out of context, you would assume, wow, the GM just doesn't trust this guy, doesn't think he's all that good, so we'd rather play Allen instead. That doesn't really seem to line up with everything else we understand, though. So that's the part I don't get. Elway has been talking about the idea that he sat in the fifth game of his first year behind Steve DeBerg. He got benched. He lost a job for a few weeks, and then he went back and got it again. He said he learned more in those 4 weeks than he had learned at any other part of his rookie year. Well, that may be so, but then that speaks to your point. Then why leave Lock inactive? Why not activate him ASAP, make him the backup like Elway himself said was so beneficial to him?
No, I'm with you. And you know what? I would certainly not argue with John Elway. He knows what was more beneficial to him than something else. But I would think if you played a few games, saw the speed of the game and just the confusion and all those things going on, and then you were able to take a step back and watch it from the sideline and see things, that would be more beneficial than just standing there with no point of reference. If you haven't played in a game, you don't even know kind of what to be looking for and what to evaluate and what to see the veteran doing. So, I'm not saying there's nothing to be gleaned from being the backup and there's nothing to be gained from, watching and observing, but I think you got to give it some context by letting the kid get some playing time. So he kind of knows what the problem areas are and even knows what to work on. So, for him to not be the backup, it makes no sense to me. And to me, it's a borderline fireable offense. I don't know why on earth, I can't come up with a conclusion why it would make sense at all.
We're talking with 104.3 The Fan's James Maryland. And James, I guess I look at this and I think about the potential draft in 2020. There could be as many as 7 first-round quarterbacks. And you never know which ones are going to be franchise guys. And the Broncos hope that Drew Lock is the franchise guy and they've solved it. But if he only starts the last week or two, which I guarantee you will hear about, oh, but that's what the Chiefs did with Patrick Mahomes. The situation is not apples to apples there. But do you feel you'd get as good of a sample size when you haven't had the quarterback at all? You don't know if this guy is, but in one or two starts, you would be so comfortable to find out that you wouldn't pick one in the first?
No, I don't think anybody with a straight face could tell you, yep, we learned enough to know in two games. I think the, I believe it was 2016, what the Rams did with Jared Goff when they said, all right, he sat for nine games. We're going to put him out there for the last seven. He's going to be the starter. We're not going anywhere anyway. Might as well see what we have. And you know what? They went 0-7. And Jared Goff was awful in some of those games. I remember watching a game and Troy Aikman was just picking him apart. But he learned from it, and the next year they come out, they're a much better team. Year after that, they're in the Super Bowl. So I'm not saying Drew Lock's going to be that guy, but one, you got to give him enough sample size that it makes some sense, and two, you got to give him enough sample size that you learn something and you find out if you got a guy or not. But to me, if you get to opening day next week or next year and Drew Lock hasn't gotten a lot of those rookie mistakes out of the way, then this year was a total wasted season. If you can get a head start on 2020 by getting him on the field now and let him make mistakes in a year that, you know what, if it costs you a game, who cares? I mean, if you go 4-12 instead of 5-11, what's the difference? I just think it's looking at the short term and not looking at the long term, and a general manager has to consider both at all times.
Good stuff from James Merrillat, the director of digital media here at 104.3 The Fan. Make sure you go there, check it out, and go ahead and subscribe for the Sports Daily while you're at it. And then, hey, you don't even have to go search it out in your browser. We'll bring it to you. Thanks a bunch, James. Appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you next time.
All right, Sean. Always appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much. That was, again, James Merrillat. It's good stuff. We'll continue it next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.